All right, so today we have Bill Cates, the referral coach, and Bill and I go back a long time. I use a lot of his basic concepts in understanding the relationship with centers of influence and clients in order to build your practice. I think Bill has always valued what Supernova teaches and establishing the bedrock of earning the introductions, earning the referrals by establishing a exceptional client experience. But what I thought we'd do today is kind of get an update as to what's happened in that, specifically in the process, which she called VIPS, how that works and today, and kind of who's using it, how are they using it effectively, and what's changed since we had our last conversation. So with that, Bill, why don't I turn it over to you and give us kind of an update on the referral process and the referral model, and as we call them, introductions now. You're the referral coach, so help us out.
Sure, happy to. You know, a lot has changed over the years. One of the things that's changed, I've been doing this for 25 years, is, and this has kind of come about the last 5, 6, 7 years, is really the importance of the introduction, like you said. In fact, I try to avoid the word referrals. It's hard to avoid because old habits die hard. But definitely when we're talking with clients, with prospects, with centers of influence, we want to favor that word introductions because that's what we need these days. We need to get connected with people. You know, there was a time when someone could say, hey, you know, call George, use my name, and that would work. George would actually answer the phone, and we could have a conversation with him. But those days are pretty much over, and people are bombarded even more so than ever before. So we got to get connected. We got to get introduced, and we can talk more about that if you want and what goes into that. And so that's one thing we're thinking about and talking about differently. With the actual VIPS, and I know we'll get a little more granular with that in a minute, but the S is suggest names and categories, and I've learned, again, over the last few years, I've been emphasizing how important it is to come to the conversation prepared with a place to go. You know that I teach kind of a permission to brainstorm or explore or talk about it, but the problem is if we come too open-ended, then it goes nowhere. If we say, hey, who do you know we can help, that usually fizzles, right? It doesn't go anywhere. So I found that the bullseye is really a specific person that our client or center of influence has mentioned in the past, and we're looking for a specific introduction to a specific person. Then we can branch out from there, and like I said, we can go into a little more detail with that. But that's something that's changed, and I'm emphasizing a lot more these days. Another thing that I'm talking about a lot more is how we talk about our value and how we approach prospects with a value proposition that's more relevant, more compelling, actually grabs their interest, moves them to action. The biggest challenge we face with prospects, especially in the financial services world, is inertia. People either are with someone, they just don't feel like making the change. You know, they're thinking, gosh, you know, Laura would kill me if I pulled my business, and I just don't want to have that conversation. Or someone's confused and stuck, and they've been trying to do it themselves, and all kinds of reasons why people get stuck and just won't act, right? We have people that seem interested, but it just doesn't, they just don't take the next step and work with us. So I've been doing a lot of work on what it takes to do that and create that. How that came about, Rob, real quick, is I was preparing for a speech with a company with their top producers, and I was calling some of them and interviewing, doing my due diligence, and I was saying, so when you get, you know, referred or introduced to a new prospect, what do you say? And I was learning that these guys and gals were just saying the typical platitudes. You know, we care about our clients and we do a customized approach and everything that everybody else is saying. But they're still doing well, and what I determined was that because they're getting a lot of unsolicited referrals, they've been at it for a while, maybe they're following your methodology and they become highly referable, that it's that referral that will kind of make up for a poor value proposition. I've been doing a work with another company, a lot of due diligence meetings this year, and we do a survey before each one to ask, you know, do you have a value proposition? When's the last time you updated it? Do you tell it to your clients and other things like that? And I realize that these folks just, you know, aren't doing a particularly good job with it. So that's something we can touch on a little bit as well. So those are some of the things that I've been up to and things that I've seen change a little bit in the marketplace.
That's great. Just for the people that have never heard you, why don't we go back and do a little bit of the role playing? We'll just set the scene that you're meeting with a client on the phone. You finished up a nice review. And, again, most of the time this would be done in person, but let's, for the purposes of this, suggest it's on the phone. And we're done. And now you have a few minutes, and why don't you explain to the audience what the VIPS is and how it would normally sound to the client?
Sure. So an easy way to remember the VIPS, Victor Indigo Paul, I don't know, Saturn, is that VIPs are the referrals are the VIPs of our business, right? So that's how we remember this. And probably the most important part of my entire system is the value discussion, where we check in on a regular basis with prospects, with clients, to make sure that everything is where it needs to be, that the communication is where it needs to be, that they're seeing value in the working relationship, et cetera. And we can do a little example of that in a minute, but that's what that stands for. And that's something, by the way, you want to do whether you're going to ask for referrals or introductions or not, is this value discussion. It creates more engagement. It's engaged clients that will give referrals. That's why your system is so powerful, because what you do is you help advisors become more engaged with their clientele, and therefore they become more referable. The I stands for treat the request with importance. Why do we want to treat it with importance? Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, we don't want to come from a place of begging. We want to feel confident. We don't want to feel needy in this process or look unsuccessful. And we know that how we put things out, you know, how we communicate them with confidence will determine how people respond. So, again, we don't want to be weak or wishy-washy. And really, one of the easiest, best, most authentic ways to treat it with importance is to bring your why into the conversation. What I mean by that is, you know, why do you do what you do from a client perspective, from a client benefit perspective? You know, everybody gets into this business because they like working with, you know, with finances and with investments and whatnot, and they can make good money and they have flexibility over their schedule. All right, that's a you-centered why. Somewhere along the line, you realize you really do important work for individuals and families and businesses, and so it's the client-centered why. And again, I can and demonstrate that in a second. So that's how we treat it with importance, coming from that place of belief in the value that we bring and bringing the value to other people. The P is permission to explore, permission to brainstorm, permission to go down this path, if you will, because in a confident way, what we know is not everybody likes to give referrals or make introductions, particularly around financial matters, so we can't just plow ahead. That the old-style methods, the old aggressive insurance agent method, is too assumptive, and people don't like that, and that makes them feel uncomfortable. So what we do is we soften it up a little bit by making sure that they're okay having this conversation. If they're not, fine, we back off. If they are, we do it. And that way we're handling the relationship appropriately. And then the S, as I mentioned already, is suggest names and categories, coming prepared. Could be with specific folks you know or in your client's life. It could be categories. Could be, you know, why they came to you, money in motion categories, life event categories. But you start narrow and then you expand out from that. You can certainly use LinkedIn as a way to come prepared, or names from directories of associations, industry associations, and such things like that. But the more specific you are, usually the better result you're going to have, especially the first time around with a client. So and that, in essence, is the VIPS.
Why don't you give us a sample of the value question that you might ask if you are a financial advisor having completed a review with a client?
Yeah. So let's say this is an annual review, a semi-annual, quarterly, whatever's appropriate for the client. I'd say, you know, Rob, let's put the market aside and the economy aside for a minute, and let's talk about something we can control, which is our communication, our overall working relationship. First of all, anything not working I should be aware of, anybody dropped a ball along the way that I should know about. And so then I'll stay with that for a little bit. Now you may say, no, everything's great, or maybe somebody didn't return your call, you know, in a timely manner, and you may have told me about it before, but you just want to kind of make sure there's no charge to it. If it's a big issue comes up, then obviously you just deal with that. You don't even worry about the referral thing. But in most cases, people are going to say, no, everything's good. You know, are we meeting often enough? Oh, yeah, I love the frequency of what we're doing. Great. So tell me more, if you will, about what is working. How do we continue to earn your loyalty? How do we continue to earn your business? And then let them expound on that a little bit. Now, the first time you do this, this will be a larger, more robust conversation if you've never done it in the past. But you know, as you start to do this on a more regular basis, then it's usually a shorter conversation, and you're really just checking in to make sure there's nothing, you know, festering along the way. But notice, I said, let's put the market aside, the economy aside. You know, we all know that we have to keep driving the point to our clients that we are not responsible for the market going up and down and bonds being worth more or less, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we do our best to provide our best advice, position people, you know, for the long term, and then we just adjust as we need to. So we don't want, of course, our referability to hinge on what's happening in the economy or the market, right? We want it to be about our communication. We want to be about the overall working relationship. So that's what the value discussion is about. And if you like, I can keep going if you want and kind of model
it. Yeah, that's perfect.
Great. So you say, oh, no, you're great. You know, we love the work you do. We always feel better after we get together, da-da-da. Well, great. You know, I've got a happy client. You know, truth is, I wish I had more clients like you because, first of all, you know the value of professional advice. You're not trying to do it yourself. And we have good, you know, good debates, good conversation. You take what we talk about to heart, and it's great working with you. I just want you to know that as well. And you know that I believe in the value that we bring. We've talked about this in the past of how I'm kind of on a mission to make sure people make the best educated decisions that they possibly can make in terms of their financial future. And so I was hoping we could brainstorm for a little bit, see if we could identify, you know, two or three folks that you think should at least be aware of the work I do. I actually have a few ideas I'd like to run by you, if that be okay. A couple of folks you mentioned, I think, the last time we were together. I think I could be a pretty good resource for them. Can I run it by to see what you think? And that's the VIPS, right? So the treating it with importance. You could see that I came from a place of confidence, excuse me, trying to bring the value to other people, opening it up, permission, brainstorm, explore. You could say put our heads together. And it's all just kind of one smooth little authentic conversation. But notice how I came prepared and let you know that I came prepared. People will get curious on who you're thinking. You know, you say, you know, somebody you mentioned last time we met, can I run it by to see what you think? And you'll go, well, I don't know, okay, who do you got in mind? Right? You might even find somebody say, well, I don't know, we're pretty private with this sort of thing, but who do you have in mind? So it opens it up, it creates the curiosity. And even if you don't have specific individuals, you don't have someone they mentioned in previously. Now, if you're doing a great job and getting to know your clients, you should know these things. You should know people in their life. But let's say you don't, or you ran out of those. You can bring categories. You could say, you know, Rob, we've identified a few categories of, you know, things that are happening in people's lives that kind of piqued their interest in the work I do. I was hoping I could run this by you real quick, see if it triggers anybody for you. Well, okay, sure. I mean, let's start with your situation, right? You came to me because you were changing jobs and you wanted advice around your 401k, and of course that led to a lot more work and doing a robust financial plan for you. But you know, let's start there. Who else do you know that might be has changed jobs or moving jobs in the near future? So whatever the category of why they came to you could be the first category you put into play in this conversation, and then you can go into other categories, if you will. So, you know, that's the essence. Now, once we identify a name or two or three, we're not done. We need to turn that into an introduction now, right? So then I would say, let's talk about your friend George. First of all, I suspect he'd like to hear from you before he hears from me. Let's talk about what that might look like. Let's see if we can craft an approach that will feel comfortable for everybody and at least, you know, piques his interest in hearing from me. So I think you can see that it's all in the delivery. You know, I think the words are important, but what's most important is that you choose words that are authentic, genuine for you so that you can then deliver them in a very natural way. You don't want to get into this conversation all of a sudden start to look and feel and sound like a different person that the client knew before this conversation.
That's really good, and I, you know, there's been some. I like the way you're customizing it for the client. Let's say that we've done this a few times now. This is we've gotten some great introductions, mm-hmm. and this client has actually become kind of a center of influence for us. And we're doing our annual review. How would that go compared to that first VIPS model?
Sure. So first of all, let me touch on something before we get into that exact verbiage. This checking in, this value discussion, I really think that you should let your clients know that this is something you're going to do on a regular basis. If it's a brand new client, I'd say, you know, Rob, I think you would agree that given the nature of the work that we're going to be doing together, it's pretty important we have, you know, very forthcoming, honest, candid conversation or communication at all times. And you'll say, yeah, absolutely. I say, so I just want to let you know, pretty much every time we get together, certainly for review meetings and occasional phone calls, I'm just going to check in. I'm going to make sure things are going where they need to be, that we're meeting your expectations. If there's a problem, we need to fix it or prevent it from happening again, and we certainly want to know what's working, so we keep doing that and more of it. So that's, I just want you to know that's something you can expect for us moving forward. And so now we're really sending the message that we're there for them. We're not going to be afraid of the problems. If some issue comes up, we're not going to hide from it. And that's just a great way to get a new relationship started, or even in a current relationship, after you've done the value discussion, say, you know, let's do this more often. Let's check in more often. So they know this is coming. And so if you've done that a couple of times, then, you know, you could even come and say, well, you know, we've come to the part of the meeting for me to just check in and say, how are we doing? Is there anything I should know about? Anything not working? Anything special happened we should be aware of? So it's going to be a simpler value check-in. But then if you want to get into this idea of more referrals, introductions, I would say, you know, the last time we got together, we brainstormed a little bit, and you introduced me to your Uncle Ernie, and I appreciate that, and I think he told you we're working together. I do have a couple other ideas I'd like to run by you, if that's okay. So the important part here is that we refer back to whatever happened before. If we asked, let's say, you know, 6 months ago, and they were a little reluctant, I could say, you know, I brought this up a number of months ago about thinking, you know, who else, who you think should know about the work we do and deserves to make good, educated decisions. I know at the time you weren't ready. That's fine. You're pretty private about this. But you did mention someone at the beginning of our meeting, and I was wondering if I might bring that back again and see if you might feel comfortable introducing me to your friend, that guy George that you sit on the board of directors with. Is that something we could talk about? So again, whether they gave referrals in the past or didn't, whether they, you know, whether they did it or not, you refer back to that. So just take a few notes, put it in a file, make sure that you're aware of what happened in the last conversation. So they don't think you're being a robot. They don't think you're going, well, oh, you know, I told this guy, you know, I didn't like to do this, or, you know, I referred him to my uncle last time. What, you know, what more does he want? But when we're coming from that place of service to others, we're trying to bring the value and help people make educated decisions. We've identified, you know, one or two or, you know, three people or categories that we'd like to explore. We give them a chance to say no. We come prepared. We let them know we've come prepared. And they always know they can say, no, I don't feel like doing it right now. So no one's going to feel put on the spot or pressured. And you certainly don't want to ask every time. If you're doing quarterly reviews, you're not asking for referrals every single time. You know, and you're really over the lifetime of a relationship, you're just starting to – you just pay attention to your clients. And you pay attention to what they're doing, and you're genuinely curious. So who'd you go on your vacation with? You know, right? And then just you make a note. Maybe next time you get together, you bring it up. And especially these advocates that you're talking about, these centers of influence, they're usually quite fine with this. They're, you know, who do you got in mind? All right, you know, and or, you know, next time they say they meet with you, they say, hey, I got somebody for you, right? That. By the way, I was working with an advisor last week in Virginia Beach, small practice, successful but small, couple of staff members, and we were talking about the hierarchy of going from word of mouth to a referral to an introduction to an advocate, and he says, so you know, how do you get clients to become advocates? Are they just wired that way, or is there something you can do to push them forward to become advocates? And I said, well, it's a little bit of both. So there are people that are wired that way. They like our value. They're just naturally wired to talk about us. They like to influence other people. They like to spread the good word about good products and services they find, right? So those are the nice, natural ones that occur by doing a great job. And then we have others that are maybe right on the edge, but one of the reasons why they don't go any further is because we haven't taught them how to identify someone who's a good match for what we do, or how to talk about our business, or how to create that introduction, and how we will follow up on that introduction. So that's where we kind of open the curtain, open the kimono a little bit to our business. We've helped our clients create a vision for their life, their financial future. And when we get to that business friendship place with many of our clients, it's okay to say, let me tell you a little bit about what we're trying to do and where we're headed with our practice. And that will tip a lot of those folks into the advocate stage. They like being included. They like a little behind-the-scenes look of you and your practice and where you're headed. And that will tip more into that category of advocates.
Bill, before we leave the BIPS, you always use the term, don't keep me a secret. How has that evolved, and are you still using that?
Yeah, I still teach the term, don't keep me a secret, and it's kind of a little bit of a double-edged sword, Rob, because, you know, people like the term. You know, a client says, hey, this is great meeting, you say, great, don't keep us a secret out there, right? You know, you smile, they smile, it's all good. And we found that a lot of advisors feel very comfortable saying that. I mean, I've heard from others say there's no way in the world I would say that. So that's fine. That's why we teach a lot of different ways. But it's a pretty easy thing, and people do it, and they get referrals sometimes without even asking. It's just a fun, simple way to infuse it into the conversation. With that said, the curse of it, if you will, or the sword, the other side of the sword that isn't so good, is the fact that some people do that, or they'll say, you know, we're never too busy to see if we can help other people you care about, and they think that's asking for referrals and introductions, and it's not. It's promoting. It's planting the seed. It has its place. It's a good way to introduce it into a new relationship to see how your new client reacts to the possibility of referrals and introductions. It's also not a bad way to back off from a conversation. So if you get into the conversation, someone says, you know, I'm really pretty private when it comes to this sort of thing. You know, can I take a rain check on this? And you go, yeah, absolutely. Last thing I want to do is make you feel uncomfortable. And, you know, if you do identify someone you think would be open to hearing from us and could benefit from what we do, please just don't keep us a secret out there. Okay, so that's a kind of a nice way to back off with a little bit of a confidence but no pressure, and you plant the seed for maybe down the road. So, yeah, it definitely has its place, but it's not the VIPS and should never be confused with that.
Right. Before we leave the subject, can you share some success stories of people that have really adopted the model and are, in the terms, killing it, really just loving it and tremendous success?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a couple. I'm a little reluctant to mention names.
No, you don't need to mention names.
The first guy, his first name is Al. Okay, his name is Al. He's in Jersey. He has over $600 million, AUM, and, you know, roughly $6 million practice with him and his partner. And initially with Merrill, he's moved, but I know that he credits the work that I've done with him and the coaching we've done to a lot of his success. He's done the implementation, right? I've just given him ideas, so he takes most of the credit. But what he's done is he's able to create a referral culture with his clients and with his staff, with his team. So the program that I taught at Merrill a number of years ago was called Referral Advantage, and Al still refers to it as Referral Advantage. And he makes sure that all his employees come in, know that this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to become super referable. We're earning the right to referrals, and we're building that culture. We're going to handle it with dignity and professionalism, but it's going to be part of what we do. It's how we grow. And he talks to clients, and he's done a great job of really – he said the aha for him – I have this on a video that he did for Merrill. He said the aha was when he realized that he could make this whole process all about the client and the value, right? Heretofore, everything he heard in the past was, you know, I'm trying to build my business and I can use your help, or there's, you know, two ways we get paid, and all the advisor-centered language that he never felt comfortable with. And once he realized that he could make it about the value, and he'd check in about the value and make sure the value is there first, realizing that if the value is there, he's earned the right to at least bring it up in the conversation, that made all the difference for him. That was the permission slip to get more involved in this. And he's really he's in one of my masterminds. I have a pretty high-level mastermind, and he was one of my founding members because he is just really taken this to heart and has grown very – in fact, by the way, he reached his – so we're having this conversation in June. He reached his goal of assets, of AUM, in May. His goal for the year, he hit it in May.
Wow.
And so now he's like just, you know, on gravy money for the rest of the year. I said, you know, take a vacation for Pete's sake. So that's one. And the other is my own financial advisor, Aaron. What Aaron has done is he's really internalized the social event marketing aspect of referrals and using his boat and other things that he likes to do. And I've given him a lot of tips along the way about how to make it more effective and how to get people to invite the right types of folks to jump on the boat with him and not just anybody. And then what we're working on with him now is, all right, so he's got the social side down. He's got a $1.5 million practice, you know, annual revenue. And now we're working on how can he do it without the social events? How can he have the VIPS conversation with clients? And that's a confidence-building conversation, right? It's all about confidence. And so he brought me in. We did a whole session for his team and working. So that's just a couple of examples. I mean, I'll give you one don't-keep-me-a-secret example. Larry DeNoia, he knows I use his name and tell the story. He's in Westchester County, New York. this happened a number of years ago, but he had a client in his office on a Friday. He says, you know, I'm still taking on new clients. Please don't keep me a secret. And his client introduced him to her sister, and her sister came in the following Monday, and she invested almost $1 million with him. I call it the $1 million secret. Just because he said, don't keep me a secret. We're taking on clients. Don't keep me a secret. So I've seen those stories as well, where we just you know, start to enter it into the conversation, and it takes on a life of its own.
Bill, one of the things that I find is the most important is your relationship with the advisor over time. You know, you and I have both been in the position of going in, giving a seminar, standing up, coaching for a little while, getting them kind of squared away, and then moving on. Mm-hmm. To me, the greatest successes have been the people that we have coached for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and they seem to continue to see value in what we're doing. And from my point of view, their success seems to be dramatically better than other people. So I know this sounds very self-serving, but to me, every successful financial advisor should have a coach. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like with great, any great team, football, basketball, but particularly tennis and golf, where it's more like what we do, where it's an individual sport. They all have coaches. Now, they may change their coaches from time to time, and then they go back to their original coach, et cetera. What's been your experience in terms of this longevity of coaching and the success that you've had with it?
Well, yeah, it's funny. My experience is the relationships that have lasted the longest are, no surprise here, are the relationships with people who really have a mindset for implementation, right? They're not just looking for ideas, but they know that ideas are worthless without acting on those ideas. And so, you know, I've coached folks, and sometimes you've probably done this too. It feels like therapy. It's like, you know, if you want to argue for your limitations, who am I to, you know, keep you from doing that? I never say that to anybody, but that's what I feel like saying. And the people who actually take the action, and then maybe they'll adjust. Maybe, you know, we say do it this way, and they'll do it that way with a little twist. Fine. Makes it work for them. And those are the people, obviously, that want to stay in touch because they're producing the results. So it really kind of boils down to action. When they take action, they see the results, they want to stay in touch. And, you know, it's amazing. I'm sure you've seen it as well. We may say something that we've said to them 3 times or 5 times before. We may say something that's, you know, patently obvious for us. But for them, it's kind of it's the first time they heard it, the right time, the right way, with the right words. And then all of a sudden, that idea takes on shape, and they take action on it, and it produces a result. So, look, and can you use different coaches over a period of time? Yeah, of course. And there's different coaches that do different things, right? You know, I'm not an overall practice management coach, right? I'm not going to come in there and look at your systems and your CRM and all of that sort. I don't do that. I'm not going to help you hire an employee, right? You know, it's like in baseball team, there's a manager, right, and then there's a batting coach. All right, so I'm the batting coach. I'm the guy that comes in that fine-tunes your processes a little bit here and there. But you know, golf players, they always have a coach, right? And they'll take a break sometimes, but then they go back for more because it's always fine-tuning. We get into bad habits. We don't even realize we've gotten into a bad habit. Until somebody else can see it, because other people can see things that we don't see. My friend Willie says it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame. And so how do the best get better? They get better by associating with other folks, with study groups, right, mastermind groups, study groups, as well as a coach.
Bill, terrific. Thanks so much. If somebody wants to hire you, as their batting coach, and there's none better, by the way, and I've studied every referral introduction coach in the business. There's none better than you, and we value what you do. And how would they get in touch with you? What's the best way, and are you available?
Yeah, I am, and I have a lot of different ways I work with folks. Sometimes it's very short term because they want to accomplish one particular thing, and sometimes it's longer term. And we have a lot of video training, video lessons that we make part of it now so they can learn a lot of the system so that when we get on the phone, really we're spending all of our time talking about implementation and strategizing various scenarios. But it's Bill Cates, not Gates. We wish it was Bill Gates, but Bill Cates, C-A-T-E-S, at referralcoach.com. Bill Cates at referralcoach.com. The website's referralcoach.com. If you want to look at kind of the different things we offer, referralcoach.com/resources will take you to a page that kind of lays it all out, and then we can be in touch and talk and see what's right for you.
Bill, this has been terrific. And with your permission, what I'd love to do is follow up with you on your ideas. You just wrote a great article on mastermind groups that I read and was really engrossed in. Mastermind groups that they might create for themselves and mastermind groups that they might use in terms of their prospecting and centers of influence and other ways to leverage their practice at a later date. Would that be something that our audience could look forward to?
Absolutely. Happy to do that. I've been through a lot of mastermind groups, study groups over the years, and actually have one coming up this week, and it's a great way to keep the ideas fresh and to grow and learn from other people.
Terrific. Well, thanks an awful lot. It's great catching up with you, and look forward to seeing you at somewhere on the road there.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right.